Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fogger. Today, we have a special guest. We have Kathy Boyle. Kathy is the founder and president of Chapin Hill Advisors, a top business, estate, and personal planning firm catering to family-owned businesses and high-net-worth families. Helping entrepreneurs and families to develop risk management strategies, Kathy encourages her clients to craft clear pathways to success using integrative systems. Kathy is a regular keynote speaker and guest on national television and radio shows such as Bloomberg Radio and TV, Fox Business Network, and Yahoo Finance. All right, Kathy. Well, welcome to the show. Why don't you give us the history of what got you to be an advisor to so many businesses?
Thanks for having me, Josh. I appreciate that. So I have, you listen to entrepreneurs on these podcast interviews, and every single one of us has this convoluted path of how we got here. I love animals. I must have been an animal in another life. I rescue animals. I started out to be a veterinarian. So I went to pre-vet med at Michigan State. I'm from Connecticut, and I have been a vegetarian since I was 16, and I'm vegan, so I do not kill animals. And in Aggie school, all the vet companies, all the vet schools are really Aggie schools. They promote the meat industry. So I went down this convoluted path. I moved to Colorado because that's where I really wanted to go. I became a ski bum. I had multiple businesses of my own. I taught aerobics. I had a fitness fix with Kathy Boyle. I had pick of the bunch flower business. So I had magnetic signs that depending on which business I was doing, those were on the side of my little Datsun. So I am a serial entrepreneur. I moved back to New York. I got into the business in the late 80s working for Merrill Lynch as a stockbroker. I lent money to small business to business owners, and so I learned about S-Corps, C-Corps. We didn't have LLCs back then, lines of credit, retained earnings, and I got my CFP when I was 1992, and I continued to work with business owners. I love entrepreneurs. I love that they are visionary, that they come up with new ideas. I'm a classic serial entrepreneur. I will have a new idea a minute. I always tell everybody if I had more money in another 24 hours in the day, I would have unlimited, income. So I love entrepreneurs. I love helping them. And I can take, my gift is I'm a big connector, number one, but I can also take very complicated things and I can bring them down to little sound bites, little bite-sized pieces. So if you tell me I have to go get my wills and trust done, I'm like, oh yeah, I know. So what I do is I make little tiny appointments with people and we make a little spoon fed and we create this plan over the course of a year. And I help them implement it so that that's what I like. If somebody can just say, Kath, all you need to do is go do this week and we'll get one step closer. Great. So that's a nutshell of how I do this.
Wow. Yeah. And the more I get to know you, Kathy, the more I definitely, if I can think of anyone who's a serial entrepreneur, it's definitely you. so many businesses, so many ideas. Well, tell me, based on all your experience, what is the number one challenge you see when you do pick up a new client, a small business or mid-sized business, family business? What is the problem that they're not seeing as they're trying to prepare for the future?
So great question. So I think entrepreneurs, we think about the new business. We think about how we're going to get it, right? And doing what we do. So a couple things. Many entrepreneurs come out of something that they did forever, whether it's a family business that they just grew up in and don't think there's any other choice, or something did in corporate and they downsized, right? And so a lot of times they focus, the entrepreneurial myth, right? It's Michael Gerber, we're technicians. We do what we do for a living. We love to do that. We know how to do that. But all the other avenues of the business, the things that are important from operations, financial, HR, and business development, as well as the product or service you do. So I call them the five legs, right? And so not everybody focuses across the board. And so that's what I find. A lot of people come up with ideas that, quite frankly, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm very blunt, and they're bonehead ideas, And like, oh, I'm going to open a dog food store. Well, it's a teeny little town. It has 3,000 residents and nobody really shops. There's no foot traffic. So are you really sure you want to do that? Unless you're going to have an online component to that, it's not going to make it. So that's what I see. I see people open up sort of their dream and not really put pencil to paper, do the numbers, project forward, think about the risk. I tell everybody, I'm a glass half full girl. I love life and I will just put my boots up and just keep going no matter what obstacles in my way. I am the half empty girl for my clients. So my job is to look for risk and try to find strategies to mitigate risk.
Okay. So someone comes to you, they're missing a few of the five legs and they're saying, maybe they're, let's just say they're they want to retire in 10 years. What are some things that they need to start thinking about? Because maybe they never thought about that. They're in the business, doing the business. What are some things they need to start thinking about now so they can actually be ready for that exit?
So great question again. So it really, what I tell people is think about building your business from the get-go, from the business plan. Think about building it as a saleable entity, even if you have absolutely no intention of selling it, or you want to give it to the kids, or you want to give it to your nieces and nephews. That's okay. Think about building it, because then you put all the cornerstones in place. The failure rate for family-owned businesses is ginormous. From first to second, only 30% make it. From second to third, only 12% make it. And then once you get to the fourth generation, only 1% make it. So you take a 110-year-old company that your great-grandparents started and you destroy it, right? And it's, sometimes it's fighting between family members. Sometimes you've run out of talent. So there's a ton of reasons. Now, a lot of this is fixable. Studies from PwC, there's 5.5 million family-owned businesses in the United States. The average age of the CEO is 60. And when surveyed, 70% of them say, I'd like to transition in the next 5 to 10 years, but they have no plan in place. So putting the plan in place is critical. And that's what I spend my time on. I'm not boots on the ground. I'm not the business coach. I don't do weekly calls and help them hold their hand. I do the planning. That's what I love to do.
So let's go through those five legs again, because I wasn't writing fast enough. So what are the five legs?
Just because I speak like a New Yorker as well. So the first one is your product or service, right? Okay. Your core offering. So you offer systems, right? And so that's your core offering. Then you have operations. Operations is everything from, are you incorporated? Do you have partners? Where's the location? Your IT needs, anything that does with operating the business falls into that bucket. And many of those have costs associated with them, right? Accounting firm, et cetera. And then you go to financial. And I swear to God, I worked with an interior designer. She brought me a paper bag, shopping bag full of her financials. So they were all little pieces of paper. A lot of small business owners especially have no financial system. I personally would rather be hung up by my fingernails than do QuickBooks. So I hire people to do that. So getting a bookkeeper, getting the right accountant is part of it, but you have to have financial, even if you're a solopreneur. And then the next part is HR. And again, even you always have a team, you always, even if you're a solopreneur, you have your accountant, you have your lawyer, you have maybe family members, maybe 1099, maybe VAs, you know, but there's always somebody in your circle, even if you're a solopreneur, that's your team. And as you move forward and formalize that in terms of the growth, you've got to add capacity and add employees, and you have to give thought to that. That's where I've made all my mistakes. I like everybody, and I think everybody can do everything. So, you know, I'm the optimist again. And then the final part is business development. A lot of people leave this as an accident. They don't think consciously about how you're going to develop new business. So those are the five legs.
Well, yeah, that's really comprehensive. And what I'm thinking is those who haven't really thought much about their future, they're just thinking, well, I can just kind of do this myself. When do people usually hit that ceiling where they're stuck because they haven't gotten someone like you? Like, do they get stuck at the $500,000 mark or the million mark? Like, where do they get stuck? And they really need someone to put these pieces together for them.
So that varies very, very much by industry, right? So if you're a service business doing 500,000, you actually are earning a lot more than a manufacturing company doing 500,000, right? Mm-hmm. So the capacity issue is the issue. Like, thinking through, so let's just say you're a coach, and let's just say you charge 6,000 for 6 months, just to make it easy. So $1,000 a month. How many clients can you handle in a day? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to train someone else to take them over? Coaching is a very personal business. So are you really going to be able to find talent? And then how are you going, once they get their mojo, how are you going to prevent them from taking your business away? So that business would be very, very different than, say, you're running a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Right. And running a restaurant, and you're going to replicate it. Let's say you're going to do takeout for some, and you're going to curbside now, and then you're going to eat in, you know, so that kind of business is very different. Are you going to replicate that over and over? You're going to open up more, and then you've got to figure out the rent, the employees, et cetera. Right. So really varies very, very much. I would say, depending again on the business, people with manufacturing get stuck at the 1 million mark. People, solopreneurs can get to 100, 200,000, and then they kind of flip out because the business is taking them over. And, you know, every single entrepreneur, no matter what size business, the first words out of their mouth, I'm so busy, right? So there's never enough time. And that's what we all face.
So how do you get people to break the mold? Because I see often people, they get to a place where they make a certain income. It's an income that they feel pretty comfortable with, their family's comfortable with. And they just say, well, this is where I'm going to sit. And they stay in this status quo. And you and I were talking beforehand about, I had this friend where he said, well, if they just grew the company to this size, they would be able to exit. They would be able to, you know, retire. There's so many things that could have happened if they were just willing to think a little bit bigger. How do you get people to do that, to think bigger about the future?
So good question again. I think I use the attractor factor approach. So I do things like this, you know, podcasts, radio shows. I speak in front of large audiences of entrepreneurs at their associations. So they're usually attracted to my style. I love working with visionaries. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's stuck and very small-minded, I'm not the best person for them because I get frustrated, right? I don't understand why you just can't get out of your own way. You know, here are the steps, execute, right? And mm-hmm. I'll give them a life coach if that's what they need. I'll give them a business coach if that's what they need. I have the resources to give you what you need, but if your inner spirit, if your inner soul is not there and ready to run for it and grab the brass hook, then, you know, then I can't fix that. So I think you've got to be, most entrepreneurs I see are incentivized. They've got vision. You know, I have a little client right now, potentially three tennis coaches, all successful, and they're thinking of buying this swim and tennis club. And it has to be under a not-for-profit for various reasons. And they didn't know anything about not-for-profit structure. The neighbors might be up in arms about us getting it through. And then I asked them, I said, so do you want to build this? And let's say in 10 years, it does X volume. Would one of you want to buy it from the others? Would you want to sell it as an entity? And they hadn't thought through that. Mm-hmm. And that, if there's three partners especially, that's a critical conversation in the beginning. Make sure you're on the same page and make sure you have a metric for valuation. Because when you hit the right formula and you really start doing volume, that's not when you want to start talking about what the company's worth and who's going to get what if I get bought out.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard enough with two people, three. It's a deadly combination. I've certainly seen it often. So tell us about some of your entrepreneurial stories. What ideas have you done over the years that really were good and why, or ideas you've done that are bad and why? Because I'm sure there's some people who are doing startups right now listening to this. And how do you evaluate an idea if it's good or not?
So again, sometimes you're lost, you're in the trees yourself, right? So even as an entrepreneur or planaholic for other people, sometimes I can make mistakes myself. And one of the examples was I started a breakfast club. Mm-hmm. And we had a little office outside in Westchester where I live. My office was in the city. And so I went ahead and opened this office because the CPA was pushing me to do it. And I really didn't go through the numbers hard enough. There's a lot of wealth where I live and being able to tap locally. When I got on the train, I went to the city every day. So I was gone. I got left at 6:30 in the morning, got back at 6:30 at night. So I wasn't seeing anybody locally. Mm-hmm. And so we opened up this office, shared with the CPA. Well, part of my referral resources comes from CPAs. So now other CPAs were afraid to trust me because I'm sharing an office with the CPA. And then the employees that I put up there after we opened the office, one of them quit. She decided she wanted to work local. She didn't want to come to the city. And then we opened up the office. So now I have this overhead I'm paying for. And, you know, and so then we had a front porch and I decided to do a little breakfast club. Mm-hmm. And so we started Breakfast Club. And I said, this is the way to get it wording, right? Because the chambers are very provincial. Back then, this was in 06, and they didn't do any online, nothing. So you pay $250 and you got a listing on a piece of paper, basically. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not paying $250 for this. So I started Breakfast Club. I grew my Breakfast Club from 13 people to 250 people over a few years. And we would host breakfast once a month. And so somebody saw me with 72 people for breakfast. And you really think I'm crazy. I cook the breakfast and it's vegan. And so he saw me with 72 people. We charge $20 a head and we give 30% to charity. You know, so it's not a moneymaker. And so he approached me and said, hey, you've got such a great connection. You need to monetize that. That's what everybody says to me. You got to monetize your connections. And so he talked me into starting this online directory of experts. And he built it. And I am a salesperson. So I believe other people too easily. I'm not a skeptic and I'm really busy myself. And so he lived in a very expensive town, had four kids, paid a lot of taxes, supposedly did business with PayPal and blah, blah, blah. And he built this he rebuilt my website and designed this thing that didn't work. And it's kind of like being pregnant when you have a group like this. You can't be a little bit pregnant. We already started it. We had members. I had a forge forward. So we had to create a VIP membership so I could collect directly and hire somebody else to rebuild the website the right way. And so those are two mistakes that I made that I call them FGOs, effing growth opportunities.
Yes. Well, that's usually they grow the most through the problems. That's funny. Well, it's a good story too. So people are listening to this right now and they're thinking, gosh, I have never planned out my future and it looks like I have these five legs. Which leg do you think they should work on first, or do all five legs need to get worked on simultaneously on their business?
Well, if you have a complete gap in one of those legs, right? Usually people have a little bit done in each of them. Mm-hmm. I think business development is one of the most critical pieces. People don't think actively. Mm-hmm. And when something like coronavirus hit, right, all of a sudden people are facing giant problems that they never ever thought. So if you're not prepared operationally, you can't get through that. You have to be able to pivot. So that's why understanding your core offering and your profit margins and everything is really critical. So I would say, even if you want to do this back in the envelope, first of all, there's lots of planning programs online. So you can go on and do retirement calculators and all sorts of things. You know, any of the financial platforms like Vanguard and Fidelity will have platforms. So you can figure out how much is enough. So that's one thing we do. But then we work backwards to then look at the business and say, well, how is the business going to support this number? And the numbers to retire are really scary. And we call it going to work because you want to, not because you have to. Mm-hmm. So no entrepreneur I know wants to check out at 65, right, or 60. They may get tired of their business, start another one. But, you know, again, they're always creators. So what I do is I tell people, let's think about the number that you need so you can go to work when you want to, not because you have to. And so that number becomes your goal. And then we work backwards into the business to think about how big the business needs to be to support that. So whether it's cash flow that you take out each year and you squirrel away in a defined benefit or a UniK or a 401k, we can run those. You can run those numbers yourself. It's a little more complicated than that. But then you have to think about all the expenses that are coming up in the future. We put fake bar mitzvahs in. We put future weddings. We ask people how they feel about paying for master's and law school for their kids. Mm-hmm. And then those numbers become astronomical. So if you have three kids times 4 years of college alone, you're talking about, you know, almost $1 million. And then when you add on grad school with future inflation, that gets scary. So then you work backwards in terms of one easy way to do it is I think about like a squirrel. A squirrel like has little places where their nuts are, and they're in various places. So if a storm comes or the tree falls down, we've got nuts somewhere else. And so you want to think about your savings and your cash flow. One of the other mistakes people make is they don't pay their taxes. Mm. Nobody sets up a structure on the financial side. Mm. Most CPAs are historians. They look backwards, they take the numbers you already did and they massage it into what they have to fit in. Very few CPAs are visionary. And they are skeptics, they're trained to be skeptics. So a lot of times they think our numbers are, you know, pie in the sky. But you want to have somebody that you work with that does future projections. And then every time a check hits, you want to break it up. And, you know, one of the coaches we use is a profit first formula. So she makes sure that you pay yourself. A lot of entrepreneurs leave themselves to the end, just assume there'll be profit at the end. And that's not always true, especially when we hit a major road bump like COVID-19. So you want to make sure you're doing a little squirrel, put away the tax money every month, every time you get paid, put away the tax money into tax bucket, put away a rainy day fund, and then pay yourself. Make sure you're paying yourself. And then you have a business reinvestment fund. So if you do get an opportunity, let's say your product company, you want to scoop in and buy some KN95 masks right now, really cheap, and be able to sell them to your network, you have the money to do that. If you see an opportunity where somebody else is going out of business, you have the opportunity to buy them. And that's one of the other things. You also want to keep your credit score really good. If your credit score has gotten damaged, we have lots of credit fixers, so feel free to reach out to me. But getting your credit in place, people don't think enough about the rainy day. And speed bumps always happen. And if you don't have capital, you can lose everything you worked for. And nobody wants to deal with pity. All of your best friends will run for the hills because anybody with money has already gotten hit up 15 times. So you're not going to get a banker to lend you money. You're not going to get an SBA loan. You're not getting anything with your credit damaged and in need. So you always have to plan for those bad times. Get a line of credit in before you need it. If you right now rates are very, very cheap, they are going to go up. I don't know when, but refinance your house, lock it in. Get a fixed mortgage, even if it's higher than your monthly, and you've just got to find a way to build that in. And then if your home has a lot of equity in it and your business is hurting right now, do a cash out refi. So take a little bit of money, put it on the side so you're taking some of the equity out and you are going to pay for it. And so you have to work the numbers out to make sure it makes sense. But we have one entrepreneur that came to me for a $300,000 hard money loan, and he was doing $19 million in revenue. So he needs my help because he shouldn't be doing $19 million and need the $300,000 hard money loan. And so he had a $1 million home, about $500 in equity. So I suggested he cash out $150,000, put that money in the bank to be able to support the cash flow because his business completely went sideways with coronavirus. So the access to capital is the golden rule. If you don't have money, you're up the creek and your back is against the wall and you'll be forced into a horrible situation.
Wow. Well, there's a ton of really good advice right there. And anyone who is needs to improvise or pivot or plan during this current pandemic, whenever you're listening to this or watching this, certainly, Kathy, I know you know somebody or connected to somebody who can help them. So that's awesome. Now, I want to ask everybody who's on the show about systems. So is there a system that you set up with your clients or system you use personally that has helped you in life or business that you can share with our audience?
Yes, I think one of the biggest things that people don't think about, one of my speeches is how to meet 1,000 people at lunch, maximize your network for success. So it's a networking speech, right? And I will ask people to raise their hands, how many of you use a CRM, contact management system? And you won't believe how few people raise their hand. And then I will shudder and I'll say, how many of you are using Excel? And a bunch of them raise their hand. I have no idea how you keep track of your contacts in Excel spreadsheets. So I think contact management system, a good one, and being able to have codes, that's what I tell people to do. And I show them how to do this when they network. So we have our lawyers coded as L, accountants as A, business owners as B. Then we have women and the people that we send holiday cards to, we have a code. So I could pull up a list of women-owned businesses in Westchester County in a nanosecond because we can search it. And so somebody came to me for a small CPA the other day, local, who works with not-for-profits. A lot of CPAs won't have not-for-profit experience and they need them from the incorporation up. So if I'm just thinking about it, I have 10,000 people on LinkedIn. How do I find it in one of my CPAs? I can go through my phone. It's like, that's helpful. That'll take forever. So this is the easy way to do it. I go in, I put in the zip codes, and I put in the code for CPAs, and up comes my little list. So I think any business, no matter who you are, using contact management system, and they've gotten very sophisticated. You don't have to pay for Salesforce. There's lots and lots of choices. Making the choice is difficult, but there's lots of services that are rating them, so you can go online and read them. So I would say that's one of the most helpful systems to stay very organized so that you don't waste time. You're not inefficient. Everybody in the company can access it. It's cloud-based, so it's remote. And so, you know, if we have a speaker opportunity and they tell us, okay, I have one gal that sells for me. So let's say 2020, we decided not to book and we're not set up for 2021, come back to us in October. So she takes them off the Excel spreadsheet, which we built for her to contact, and then she puts them into the CRM with the date for her to pop up with a reminder to call them on October 5th of 2020.
Yeah, that's a huge one. And I think oftentimes people don't invest in CRMs because they're not investing in their future. And they're so moment by moment, day by day, that the idea of planning for next month, next year, 5 years from now, they just don't do it. That's a great advice. Great system. I totally agree. Now, what is one question, Kathy, that I didn't ask you, but I should have asked you?
So good point. I think that one of the things you want to think about is What if, like some people, I believe in the universe in abundance. And so some people don't like to look at the negatives, right? But I think that you owe it to yourself that you really look at this COVID-19 as just the ultimate example of what we never ever thought we would have to face. You know, I have one company pending, he has food carts. Food carts weren't allowed to go out. So all of a sudden, all his people that were renting, he's paying for a commissary. Right. And so boom. And then the effect. So I think you really owe it to yourself to take your rose colored glasses off and think about what could go wrong. It doesn't mean you're going to bring it into your life, but I think you need to just put it out there because things do happen. And the sooner you address them and plan for them, the contingency plan, the better off you'll be.
That's great advice. So plan for the what ifs. And part of that would be have some cash on hand, some capital. And have a network of people that you mentioned, right? And those are essential ones. Well, great. Well, Kathy, where can people find out more about you? And if they need some of your help, where should they go?
Thanks. So chapinhill.com is my website. So that's easy. kboyle@chapinhill.com is my email. I have a Facebook that's private, but we have a Chapin Hill Facebook page. LinkedIn, easy to find me there. I'm on Twitter and Instagram as well under Chapin Hill.
Okay, Kathy, thank you very much. And anyone, if you are interested in retiring or you're stuck in your business or really you just need some advice, Kathy is a wealth of advice. Every time I talk to her, I learn something new, I get a new contact. So I would recommend going to your website, Chapin Hill Advisors or chapinhill.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, leave us a review, give us a comment. If you do, we draw one name out of a hat each week and we will send you a copy of the book right there behind me, Work the System. Or you can get it for free at workthesystem.com. You can download it there, the audio or the PDF version. Otherwise, stay tuned. Next week, we'll be doing another live stream here on Facebook, or you can catch us on iTunes or anywhere you like to watch podcasts. And we will see you next week.